So Shmuel, sorry, Malachim Beis, Perek Dal, Pasuk Lamed Beis. So as we remember, Elisha sent his man Gehazi to go and take care of the child, because at first he thought that he's not really dead, he's not in fact dead. Just, you know, he's sick, maybe he lost consciousness, whatever it was. So he sends Gehazi to go take care of it, right? He thought it was a minor matter. But then Gehazi returns with a report, and he says, no, in fact, he's really dead. And now we need to pull out the big guns. We need to send out Elisha himself to go take care of it. So Elisha goes, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayavar Elisha Abaisa, Vayna Anar Meis, Mushkav Al Mitosai. So Elisha comes to the house, and in fact he sees that the boy is dead, right? not that he died now, rather he's dead, Meis Mushkav Al Mitosai. Meaning, he was dead when the mother put him on the bed. Right? So he was dead before. Not that he died right now, but he was dead.
Died before.
Yeah, he died previously, yes. So the time the mother put him on the bed, that's when he was already dead.
Isn't this another Haftarah?
I'm not sure. Could be.
It seems, because I read the Haftarahs myself, you know, this seems... It's one of the Haftarahs that we read on Shabbos.
Yeah, could be. But let's continue. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayavoy v'yizgar adelas v'at shneyem v'yispal el Hashem. So he goes in, he closes the door, and what does he do? And he davens. Now, why is this pasuk strange? What's strange, different about this pasuk? Let's read it again. Vayavoy, he comes. Vayizgar adelas v'at shneyem, he closes the door on both of them, him and the child. Vayispal el Hashem, and he davens to Hashem.
Why he closed the door? Is that what it says? What else is he going to do?
Because the woman is there and is.
So what's strange is that he says that he davened, right? If you remember all the other previous nisim that he did, right? When he went out and he got the woman to pour the oil and didn't stop.
Yeah.
Does it say that he davened? No.
No.
He didn't daven.
No.
Right? It was with his own power, his own merit as a Navi. Right? He was able to start the nes. Right? And when he, also when he cured the water, when he fixed the water, doesn't say that he davened. Right? All the other, he did many other nesim, never says that he davened. The first time, he's about to do this nes, it says that he davened. Why does he have to daven for this nes? And he does not need to daven for the other nesim.
But what in this case, what is davening? Maybe this is exactly time when need to daven. Before, now, when Mincha, for example,
start? No. It says, it's not like he was like, you know, about to like, you know, bring back to like, he's like, oh, wait a minute, it's almost Shkia, I got a better daven Mincha now, right? No. That's not.
I would say it's a bigger thing to make a person who's died for the Meshumah to come back. It's not a natural thing. The other stuff is nature.
Well, I'm saying it's a nace.
He knew a way, like we say in Egypt, they knew a lot of things got to do through Kishim and everything else. He knew a way he could make oil keep coming. But to make the neshama come back.
Right. No, very good, very good. You're on the right track.
That's a good thing.
But by the way, all these other stuff were also nisim, right? To have this little jug of oil keep on pouring and pouring, that's a nice.
But it's just a change of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Hashem made nature this way. So you're allowed to, if you know how, you can change it a little bit there. But you can't make a Shema come back just by saying come back.
No, very good. So the Malbim says exactly what you said, and he says that all the other Nisim, right, he didn't need to daven because he had enough power as a Navi to do it himself. However, when he went to bring back life, when he wanted to bring life, that is only in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Sure.
Right? It's only in the hands of Hashem. And that is not given to a shaliach, not given to a messenger, to a malach to do his bidding, right? There are three mafteichos that are only in the hands of Hashem. What are they? three keys that are only in the hands of Hashem. One of them is giving life, right?
Yeah.
What are the others? That's one of them, right, that we have
giving
right here?
Death.
Well, no, not really. I'm saying it says you have Malach HaMavis, right?
No.
Right? You have Malach HaMavis. Hashem has...
No, the Malach HaMavis takes a soul.
Right.
Hashem doesn't.
Right.
That's his servant.
Right. Hashem has this army of Malachim that goes and does his bidding.
Right.
Right? He doesn't deal with all the nitty-gritty and all the trivial stuff in the world. Yeah, I'm saying even major stuff.
He's busy.
Right, he's a busy guy, right? What is Hashem doing all day? The Gemara says, what's he busy doing? What does Hashem do?
Making weddings, getting people together.
Oh, very good. Very good, making shiduchim.
Yeah.
Right? You know the famous story, the Gemara says, right, there's some person who said, he asked a rabbi, what does Hashem do all day? So the Tana told him, oh, he does, that's what he's busy, he's making matches all day, making shiduchim. So this, I think, was a Roman emperor. He says, that's what he does all day. It's not a big deal. I can do that myself, right?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that story.
Right, you know the story, right? So he gets all of his servants, right? All the male servants, all the women servants. He's like, hey, you.
No.
You marry, right?
You give them their own house, right? And the next morning, what happens? They're all calm, they're bruised. They got a broken eye, a black and blue, right?
It didn't work.
Turns out it's not so easy to make shiduchim, to set matches. Right? So that's what Hashem does all day long, apparently. Anyway, so he's got these servants to do his bidding. He's got the malachim to do his bidding for him. And most malachim, they stay in the same exact spiritual status they're in throughout their whole existence. Right? They don't live and die. They don't grow. Right? They don't have the possibility to grow. Right, like in this world, our neshama has the possibility, the opportunity to grow, to become greater, or chas v'shalom to become smaller. Malach
is the way he was set up, and that way he is.
Right,
that's it. You plug him in, and he works.
Right, he's like the energizer bunny. Right, plug him in, and he keeps on going. Just goes and goes and goes. Who is the only malach that has the possibility to wax and wane? Which malach is that? There's one malach in Shemaim that has the possibility to wax and wane.
To what?
To grow and to get smaller.
Oh.
What malach is that? Which malach? The most famous malach of all? No. Not the most famous. Now, any other guesses? No?
The Satan. Me.
Huh? The Satan.
The Satan.
The Satan is the only malach that has the possibility to grow and to become smaller.
The Satan also is a malach?
Yeah, he's a malach. Right? In Christian theology, right, Satan is Lucifer, a fallen angel. Right? This angel that had some kind of dispute with God, and God, you know, kicked him out of the castle. He's like, oh, get out of here on your own. From then on, Lucifer tries to build up his army again to fight against God. He makes deals with people, right? And that's, you know, the whole term of, you know, selling your soul to the devil, right? Mm-hmm. Right? You give away your soul to the devil. Right, he's like this evil soul who's trying to fight God, right?
I never heard of the kid, angel. Angels, this is completely different.
He's a fallen angel.
So I don't get it. So how does he grow or how does he get smaller?
Us Jews, we believe that he can grow through what? He grows through...
He gets happy and...
Right, exactly. The main way that he grows is through the Jewish people doing Averis. When Jewish people do Averis, he gets the light from the Jewish people. He gets their energy, right? And then he grows. And so in order for Mashiach to come, we need to get the light back from the Satan. There are two ways for us to get the light back from the Satan. What are they? One way is...
Pedavan.
Well, you got to observe the mitzvahs.
Learn.
Yeah, to do tshuva.
To do tshuva, yeah.
Right? To do tshuva, that's one way. What's the other way that we get the light back from the Satan?
What else is there?
What else is there? Not very pleasant. Yisurim.
What?
Suffering.
Yisurim. Suffering.
Yisurim, yeah. Through Yisurim, through suffering, we can get the light back from the Satan. Now, Hashem gives us the option. He says, okay, guys, listen, in order for Mashiach to come, right, you need to take the light back from the Satan. Satan has to die, right? It says, when Mashiach comes, the Gemara says, after Mashiach comes, there's going to be this big eulogy for the Satan, right? The Satan is going to die, and we're going to have this big eulogy for the Satan, right? And the Gemara goes on to say that, you know, the Tzaddikim are crying, the righteous people are crying, the Rashaim, the evil people are crying, right? And the Gemara goes on, it's a whole long Gemara, to say why the Tzaddikim are crying, why the Rashaim are crying. We're not going to get into that right now. But why is the Satan, so in order for the Satan to die, in order for Mashiach to come, the Satan needs to die, right? His energy needs to diminish. So Hashem tells us, he gives us the option. He says, either you do tshuva, and that will bring the light away from the Satan, back to the Jewish people. But if not, if you don't do tshuva, what can I do? Right, Hashem says, I have to bring you gotta suffer in order to, for the light to come back to the Jews.
So when did Hashem create the Satan?
Hashem created the Satan with all the other malach. I'm saying,
I mean, there were no people around.
Right.
He had no job. What was his job when he was created? There weren't any people for him to to put on the wrong way.
Right.
How did he exist if he gets all his power from making people do bad stuff? How did he exist before a person was born? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, good question.
He went to school and he learned.
No, he's saying he, when people are bad, he gets stronger. When people are good, he gets weaker. So how did he? So he was created weak.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. I don't know exactly how it was created, but I'm saying it was always created with energy. It's just he sucks this energy from other sources, right?
I understand.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it was created. That's a good question. I don't know.
All right, that is here, but
this is a philosophical idea.
Before,
to understand what is good, not to have what is
bad. How do you exist without energy?
You'll see the movie.
The only way he exists, he's strong, is because you're doing something bad. And if nobody's there to do anything bad, what does he do? What was his job before God created the man?
There was animals around.
No, animals don't. He doesn't get anything from the animals. The animals have only the lowest form of life, which is a nefesh, right? And once an animal dies, what happens? Right, their neshama doesn't keep on living, right? It's not even a neshama; it's a nefesh. It's the lowest form of life, right? When an animal dies, the nefesh just evaporates. It's gone, right? There's no heaven for dogs and for cats. It doesn't exist.
They have cemeteries, though.
Cemeteries, but they have no heaven.
What did you say? The nefesh what?
The nefesh evaporates.
It goes back to God. It doesn't evaporate.
I'm saying it's not. It isn't. It's not a neshama of a Jew, right? That goes back to God, right? Because the neshama is from Kisa Kavod,
right?
Right. But the life force of a dog is not from Kisa Kavod, right? It doesn't come from Kisa Kavod. It doesn't come from God. I mean, obviously, everything comes from God, but it's not our neshama is be'etzem, is a piece of God Himself, right? It's a piece of Hashem. We have a piece of Hashem inside of us,
right?
Right. A dog doesn't have a piece of Hashem inside of him.
Right. Okay.
Right. So when a dog dies,
yeah,
right, his nefesh just evaporates. It's gone. Right. Doesn't keep on existing.
But you got to be good to the dogs on Pesach.
No, I'm just trying. I know right. What he's saying. a life force. We call it a life force.
Yeah, the life force. The life force of a dog.
But when God created all these things, the animals, the fish, everything else, and they started living.
Yes.
Now, from what? From what did they start living? God gave them something.
Right.
That they alive.
He gave them a nefesh.
All right, he gave them a nefesh. But so it's still from God.
Yeah, it is from God, yes. But it's not a piece of God himself. Right? Everything, this table only exists.
All right.
Right, because
all right.
Of God. God created this table.
I understand. Okay. So it's like, it's the same thing here. Like, look, you have a robot. You have a robot. How does a robot work? Through electricity. You plug him in.
Right.
You actually take away and plug him in. There's no more force to make him go, and he falls apart.
Right.
That's what animals, it's the same thing. What you're saying. God's created them. He gave them a power of walking around them and everything else. But when they die, that power doesn't go back. It wasn't Kodesh.
Right.
Put it that way. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to what's happening over here. Anyway, so when Elisha comes to be Mechaya this child, he needs to daven to Hashem, right? Because he does not have the power to bring life into the world. Only Hashem has that. All he can do is he can prepare the body of the child, as we're going to see in a minute, he can prepare his body to accept the life force from Hashem.
Bring it back.
Yes.
Actually.
But not to actually infuse life into the body. That he cannot do. Right? So the Zohar actually brings down in Parshas B'Shalach that the reason the child died was because the life force of the child was only through the mother. Misitra Denukva, he calls it, right? Which is Aramaic, which means from the side of the mother. Every child, right, boy or girl, has to have a life force both from the father and from the mother. Right? But when Elisha promised this Isha of Shunammis, he promised her a child, what did he tell her? Tell her that in a year, at chivekes ben, you will be holding a child, right? Meaning, the life force will be only from you, from the mother. He didn't have a life force from the father, right? And that's why he died. Because the life force was not strong enough, not powerful enough. Right? Because only the mother was promised a child, but not the father. Because the father was not promised a child, he was not able to infuse a life force into the child. Right? So his neshama was weak. That's why he ended up dying so young. So what Elisha is doing now, he's not only bringing back life. What he's doing also is he's bringing life Misitra de Duchra, which means from the side of
the father,
of the male, the male side. In order for any child to exist and to live a long life, he needs to have a life force from the mother and a life force from the father. It doesn't mean that he necessarily was intimate with the mother, but what it means is that he gave his own life force, his Elisha's life force, onto the child. And that's part of what he's doing over here. And so that's why he closed the door, so he can be in privacy, to give a life force to the child. And after he davened to bring down a new life force from heaven, he prepared the child, as we're going to see right now, to accept the life force. He's got to be, the child's body needs to be prepared for it. So let's see, Pasuk Lamed Daled, what does he do? Vayal v'yishkav al hayeled, he climbs on the bed, and he lies down on the body of the child. Ve'asim piv al piv, ve'enav al enav, he puts his mouth on the mouth of the child.
The eyes
and the eyes of the child. Ve'kapav al kapav, his hands and his hands. Ve'yigar olav, and he hovers over him. Vayachim basar hayalad, and he warms the flesh of the body of the child. So what is he doing?
It says the child's flesh became warm.
Yes.
That's easy. It doesn't say he warmed up the child.
Right.
It whatever he did there, he was successful. Like you say, he was going to give him the male strength to exist. He needed both the male and the female, you're saying. Now, he's giving him this, and then the child became warm.
Right.
It's not because he laid on him and he gave him his heat. You can lay in part of a dead body all day, you're not going to warm him up. But he got the life force of a male bird that he needed, was just saying. That's right. What made him warm.
Right.
So what happened here? He came in, closed the doors, and he prayed to God, what?
To bring the life force.
Yeah. Not that he got all on him first, and then he prayed to God.
Right.
Prayed to God that whatever he's doing will help.
Right.
But what he, for sure. What he did, it looks he received some instruction when he prayed. Why he did this steps?
Did Hashem tell him to do that? Is that what you're asking?
No. Why he did this one, not this, something else?
Well, everything he's doing was in order to prepare the child.
But, if you did not read, what you do?
How did he know to do that?
I believe because he named him, he prayed and maybe received some instruction from Hashem what to do. But this is...
Well, it's a good question.
It's not clear why he did this. Can be many different things to return energy or life to him. But he did this specific thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound like he received instructions.
No, but it's an instruction because in Navim he always received instruction. It's his job.
Right.
But the word is prayer.
I don't know what time Navim usually talk with Hashem. Mm-hmm. Some people during sleep, some during the prayer. This is different things.
Right. Well, it sounds like he first davened to Hashem, and then he knew what has to be done. You need to daven to Hashem that Hashem will bring down the life force. Because if Hashem wouldn't bring down the life force, anything he would do wouldn't help.
No, no, even somebody drone. The first thing to do, he is not dead, need to have his, so your mouth to...
Right, mouth to mouth, yes.
And try right. to...
Resuscitate him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the word itself, it says, Vayiga Olov, he prostrated himself on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't say, and he made the child's, it says, Vayachov, and it happened.
Right.
That is, because of this action, it happened. Not that the warmth of Elisha warmed him up.
Right.
It's only because, like you said, he brought back the
life force.
The life force of the veil that he needed.
Right. Right. But what he's doing here, the pasuk mentions three body parts. Mouth to mouth.
Mouth.
Eyes on eyes.
Yeah, and
hands. Right, these three parts, right? Each part is a different part of the life force, right? Mouth to mouth is the ruach, right? Right, so Elisha is now giving the part his own ruach, right? And then he's giving, putting his eyes in the eyes of the child to give him the senses, right? And the brain power. And then hands to hands, which is what the Malbim calls the nefesh ativis, the natural life force, comes apparently through the hands, right? And he's infusing that through his hands, and through that, he's preparing the three parts of the nefesh, of the life force, to accept life.
How did he put his eyes on the? You can't.
He put his not exactly, but like you know, he put his head directly on the head of the boy.
All right.
Right. So what does he do? And he does this seven times. Let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Vayosho v'yelech b'bayis achas heinav achas heinav v'yal v'yigar olav v'yzer zanar achav v'ami v'yivka chanar es einav. So he does this seven times.
What's a?
He goes back and forth onto the child seven times. Right?
There is no anything about seven in Russian.
No? Pasuk Lamed Hey.
No.
35. Doesn't say seven times?
Yeah. Ashev upon him.
Doesn't say seven times in Russian? That's weird. Why does he do...
He didn't say... It says that the kid sneezed seven times. Doesn't say...
Yes, he sneezes seven times.
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
Not walk seven times.
He lay that... He'll go back. He's laying on him. And the body became warm. It was warm. But he didn't open his eyes or anything else. He didn't move. It was just warm. It seems his body became warm. And it was like it was susceptible to get back.
Right.
To like, I don't understand. And he returned to walk down the house. Vayoshev, who's he?
The Navi. Yeah, so he went back to daven, right? Every time he does this, he davens first.
He laid down. Let me get. He laid down upon him.
Yes.
He felt the boy getting warm. He got up, and he started walking around.
Yeah, he started davening again.
Well, the boy is still not alive.
The boy's still there. No, not alive yet, no.
Not alive yet,
yeah.
He's just in the process of starting getting in. So why did he get up and walk around?
To daven again.
Oh, to daven.
Yeah, to daven. And each time we did this, he davened.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. It says he walked.
Yeah, but the Radak says it. The Radak says every time he got up, he davened again.
Okay, all right. It was starting to work, so he can daven some more.
Right.
And the last sneed, that is something else, too. He sneed seven times. But it's...
No. He did this seven times, and then before the child came back to life, he sneezed. Sneezing is referring to the child. The child sneezed, not Elisha.
No, I know the child sneezed seven times.
No. Elisha got onto the child seven times, and then the child sneezed.
Yeah, all right. The child sneezed, but it says seven times. Why seven times?
Yes, and the Malbim explains that seven times is referring... is he needs seven times for the 70 years that he will live after this. Right? Apparently he lived 70 years. So he says that the cells of the body over 70 years will change seven times. Right? Every 10 years the cells of the body change. That's what he says. Even though I think science says that it's a different amount of time. But whatever. He says that the cells apparently change seven times. So for every time the cells of the body changed, he needs to bring another life force into the body. So in order for him to live 70 years, he needs to do this seven times.
We say when a person passes away, the soul leaves his nose.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe here he sneezed seven times to open up the thing so it could come back.
Maybe.
I mean, what's... It kind of means something.
Right.
He's 70.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't
see
that.
Could have said that he sneezed, and he made room, but seven times, I mean, he's telling us something here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
So that's one pshat the Malbim says. Another pshat the Malbim says is seven times is referring to the seven Yemei HaBinyan, right? The days of creation are seven, right? There are 7 days where Hashem created the world. And this is what Elisha is essentially doing right now. He's creating life, right? In order to do that, he needs to tap into the 7 days of creation that are in the heavens, in Shammai. That's what he does. That's why he does it 7 times.
I mean, what is this the play before he died? The boy whacked, and he said his head was hurting, right? That part that they said, I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
The head was. So, what does that mean? I mean, he died naturally?
Yeah. Did die naturally, but again, he died also because he didn't have a full life.
There's a lot of ways to die. You don't have to get a headache to die. You can just die like that.
Right. Why did he die with the headache?
He went back home. He was out with his father in the field.
Yeah.
The father sent them back to the house.
He started feeling bad. He just since they just died, he started feeling bad. My head hurts. And
right.
He was feeling symptoms of death coming, I guess.
Right.
When actually Neshama left body, after the Shiva or immediately?
Immediately. Yeah. I mean, the neshama, though, hovers over the body, stays with the body up until the burial.
After the burial?
Up until the burial. At the burial, the neshama goes back to Shemayim.
It means before the burial, neshama is still in body?
Not in the body, it's still in the world. It's over the body. It hovers over the body. Whatever that means.
In this case, body is still... Some with the clothes.
Meaning the body is dead, right? The neshama is not in the body. But the neshama is still in this world up until the burial. It says that when they give a person a eulogy, a hasped, right?
He can still...
The neshama can hear. The neshama can hear is obviously not with the ears, because the ears are dead. The body is dead. But the neshama is still aware of what's going on, right? When people speak of the hasped, the neshama is still there.
That's until he's buried.
Until he's buried, yeah. When he's buried, the neshama goes up to Shemayim.
That's why you're not, when someone is dying, or that you're not supposed to start talking all kinds of things about him.
Yeah, he's still here.
Saying bad things.
You can still sense it.
You know.
You shouldn't talk about him anyway.
Right, the Gemara in Brachas, it says you shouldn't talk about the dead. Do the dead know what's going on in this world or not? It's a whole thing.
But if after burial, it means if neshama, after... Hashem, it's no chance to return life again.
No.
But there is only case and whole Humash, somebody returned from the death.
As far as I know, yeah. Yes. Anyway, so Elisha brings the life force back to the child. And he opens up his eyes. And what do you know? He's alive again. So he calls Gehazi, Elisha. So it says, call the mother. He calls her over. He says, guess what? Good news. Your son is alive again. Right? Now, he obviously only did this, right, for a great reason. We'll see later on, though. Anyway, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'tovah v'tibol ha'ragalov, v'tishtachu arzo, v'tizas b'no v'teitze. So she comes back, and she bows down to him in order to show him thanks. She carries her son, and she runs. She gets out of there, right? She leaves. Okay, I think we'll stop here. This is the end of this story. And next week we'll see there were two other Nisim that Elisha did. Right? Up until now he did 7 Nisim. Right? There are two other Nisim that he did that we're going to see later on.
Do we hear anything about this?